Thank
Thank
you
you.
all very much.
We're going to move into ILIO and just let's give us another 3 minutes or so to move into
Thank you.
Okay, so I am definitely not the chair of the ILIO. So who is the chair of the ILIO, Jen?
We actually don't really have a chair.
Okay.
That's not something that we've explored, but we can. And again, we only meet quarterly. So things, when we met in October, you know, we were facing the election. So we wanted to kind of see how everything shaked out in January. So thank you for joining. This is a bit of a special meeting. We are back on the schedule of meeting quarterly, the first of the year here in January, but we are joined by our partners at the Puget Sound Partnership, as well as US EPA. And I did share an agenda with all of you, and I believe you got that from the clerks. But we should go ahead and do some introductions because I know at least Kennedy is here for the first time, which is really exciting. And we've got a few other elected officials here in the room as well. So let's go around and do introductions. I will start on the screen because there's so many of you with Commissioner St. Clair.
So I'm Janet St. Clair, Commissioner for District 3, which is Camino and North Whidbey. And welcome. Good to see some pretty amazing people in the room. Thank you for being here.
And I'll go with Larry. He's next on the screen.
Good morning. Thank you to the LIO and thank you to the commissioners for having the Puget Sound Partnership here today. I'm Larry Epstein. I'm Deputy Director of the Partnership.
Larry and Jason.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jason Lim. I am the Island LIO Project Officer.
All right. And Kennedy?
Good morning. I'm Kennedy Horseman, Mayor of Langley.
Great. And Angela?
Good morning, everybody. And thank you so much for having us. I'm with EPA's Puget Sound Recovery National Program office section. I work for Peter there, and we're really happy to be here with you today.
Thank you, Angela. And Sabrina.
Hello, I am Sabrina Combs, the City Administrator for the City of Oak Harbor.
Great. And Peter?
Yes. Hi, everybody. Peter Murchie with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. I manage the Puget Sound Recovery National Program Office branch. And also agree with Larry and Angela. Appreciate you all and your good work. I don't think I know everybody, but I know the good work of the Island LIO. So happy to be here to talk about our work with you and be in a good dialogue on that. So thanks.
Thank you, Peter. And I'll go with Jillian.
Hello, everybody. Sorry, my internet's unstable, so I'm going to leave my camera off. But I'm Jillian Wright, Board's Policy Advisor at the Partnership, and I'm here today to talk to you at the end of your meeting about the upcoming local forum with the Ecosystem Coordination Board in Island County.
Great. And we'll go here in the room. My name's Jen Schmitz. I'm the Natural Resources Manager for Island County, as well as the Island LIO Coordinator. And on my left, I have Molly.
I'm Molly Hughes, Mayor of the Town of Coopville.
And Melanie.
And I'm Melanie Bacon. I'm the Chair of the Board of Island County Commissioners.
And I'm Martin Van de Pass, Commissioner for the Port of Coopville.
Excellent. So you can see we've got a wide spread of elected officials here today, which is excellent. And our US EPA partners are here, as you can see on the agenda, to talk to us about the LIO Puget Sound Partnership funding model. And Peter, I do have that funding model diagram. I'm happy to share that while you speak, unless you had other slides you'd like to share.
I apologize up front. My computer and Zoom are not working, so I'm on my phone. So if we do need to share it, I'm happy for you to do that. I don't know if I want to put it up right away.
Okay. Perfect.
And also I want to give some space as well. Larry and I didn't prep specifically for this, but it is an interesting collaborative space. And I just want to recognize that the Puget Sound Partnership as the National Estuary Program and by state statute is the backbone organization, a lead for ecosystem recovery. Because they're a national estuary program, EPA has the opportunity to provide funding and a little bit of oversight, but mostly collaboration and partnership with the partnership, with you all and others, state agencies, tribes, federal family, to support our shared interests in Puget Sound recovery. So I know we're talking about the funding model and specifically the competed spaces about the funding model and how to help ensure that that's improving and adapting, especially as it relates to supporting really good work at the local government in the LIO area. But there are parts of the funding model that we're not necessarily taking input on, but certainly want to talk about, which are non-competed. And that includes our award, our grant with the Puget Sound Partnership, which is the space that the LIO coordinators and other support for LIOs happens in that space. So just wanted to be clear about that. I think there's some interest in talking to the LIOs in general, talking about capacity support for LIOs that does reside with the partnership. And I also want to recognize, and when we do show the chart, you'll see it, there's other parts of the funding model that we're happy to talk about, but the specifics right now is helping us do a good job with the competed spaces that supports implementation of the action agenda. And again, the action agenda is owned by us collectively as part of the management conference, but with the leadership of the partnership. So Larry, I wanted to give you some space to also talk a little bit up front, if you had opening remarks and about that role and your work with the LIOs.
Yeah, thank you. Peter gave a really nice overview of the role of the Puget Sound Partnership. To drill down a little bit more, one of the roles that we have is to kind of knit a pretty broad system together. And, to recover something like Puget Sound, it's salmon, to focus on kind of the human well-being of the people that live there, all of which are part of our statute, it's an all hands on deck, right? It's the federal government, it's the state government, it's tribes, and it's local, county, sub-regional governance, such as the ones that you lead and that you serve. So the Puget Sound Partnership kind of really tries to sit in the middle of that and knit that system together. So the resources, the people, and the energy are pointed at what are Puget Sound recovery priorities. One of the things that we're really working on hard now with the LIO system is to kind of surface those priorities, the local priorities, which is where most of the work gets done for Puget Sound recovery, most of the actual decision making and work about what we need to do to rebuild our watersheds and the populations that live there. That local knowledge comes from you, comes from our tribal partners. So what we're really trying to work on now through the LIO system is developing those plans, those action plans about what are the priority things that need to happen within communities, within local communities, make sure that they're very much present in the action agenda so that there's a real strong pipeline between the development of the funding model, which is what Peter is going to talk about in a little bit, and the local priorities that you're putting forward as part of your LIOs. So connecting that system is really where we see the Puget Sound Partnership playing a role. And we've been working really closely with the LIOs, with your LIO coordinators, to develop those action plans, to develop those strategies, so that there's a real strong through line between what's happening in your communities and between what the funding model can support. So that's where I see a real opportunity for growth, for innovation, as we're looking at this next action agenda in 2026. I really appreciate how much time Island LIO, all the LIOs have put in working with our ecosystem recovery team, with Jason and his colleagues, to develop that vision and to develop those plans. And I think we're really on the cusp of really tying the system together in a way that really surfaces and priorities the work that you're telling us is most important.
Great. Thanks, Larry. And I know Angela introduced herself in general, but in this context, Angela is our lead for the Puget Sound National Program in this process of getting input, working internally with partners, with you all, with the partnership to design and implement the next funding model competition. So although I'm here, Angela is really the key lead for us on this. But I'll be doing most of the conversation with you today, but Angela might jump in and out. So I do want to pause because I know we have an agenda with you. It sounds like there are new great leadership folks in the Island LIO, and I want to be respectful of what goals you have for this conversation up front. So, I mean, I've done this a couple of times with Larry and Angela, with other LIOs and with the management conference, but are there specific topics, questions, goals you have for this dialogue that I can be tracking up front? So make sure to cover those things. And of course, you can jump in later as things come up too. But I just wanted to pause there and see before we jump into description of the funding model and process.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. And I just wanted to introduce Kurt Gordon as well and give him a chance to introduce himself really quickly. Kurt, do you want to say hi?
Yeah, hi. I'm a port commissioner on South Whidbey and been able to be involved slightly with the IO since it got implemented in Island County, I don't 10, 12 years ago. So appreciate hearing about the latest of what's going on, and especially funding models. That's pretty cool. Let's hear what you got to say. Thank you.
Great.
I think that's actually a really good segue. I know we have there was an element on the agenda just to sort of give an update of what's happened in the last couple of months, but I believe that will naturally come out, and it already kind of has with Larry's introduction to what we've been working on. It all is blended into this effort over the last couple of months to really re-examine how the LIOs work together and with other partners across the Puget Sound for the recovery planning. But I think Kurt raised a good point, and to Peter's question about how everyone on this call wants to introduce their priorities or ask questions. Some folks have been here for this is their first meeting, and others have been around, you know, for many years and have seen the evolution of the LIO work here in Island County as well as in other areas. And I remember, Kurt, when you first joined us again last year, you said, you know, what happened to where we actually implement projects? And his question coming to the board after, you know, not having been at meetings for a couple of years and coming and going was, well, where was that change? And so that is really top of mind for a lot of the folks who have been coming to work with the LIO in various capacities in the technical or executive committee levels is, how did it used to work? Why did it change? How can we make that work like that again? Because we found a lot of value. And so there is part of that is going to be part of this funding discussion is, you know, how to make the local implementation of projects that is driven by folks like those on this call as effective as it can be. And so, Peter, mm-hmm. I just wanted to stage that as being, you know, we've got a wide breadth of experience with the LAO specifically, but the funding, the local implementation of funding is always part of the conversations at these meetings.
Got it. Great. First of all, I was able to switch to my computer. I just want to check that I look okay and sound okay.
That's great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, yes, I will make sure that I'm setting up that part of the discussion. I know that has been of interest with other LIOs over the years as well. And there's been lots of good dialogue within the management conference with LIOs through the different variations of the funding model over the past 10 years. So we can revisit some of that and talk about that.
Commissioner Bacon, I do have a thing.
Oh, I apologize.
Yep. No, don't apologize, Peter. You didn't know. So my first LIO meeting was in 2021, maybe January 2021. And we talked at that time. We had money. Mm-hmm. The county had money. And we were concerned about climate change. And we talked about doing a climate a plan, you know. And then I think it was that year, before we could even start on something like that, that money was sucked away from the county. So I just want to state up and became part of Puget Sound Partnership, chose to keep those dollars to themselves for their projects, which was supposed to encompass our projects as well. But I just want to say that that I continue to hold a little anger about that. And so I am interested in seeing dollars be spent in Island County. And so I'm hoping that this conversation, Peter, is going to include funds being spent in Island County.
That was a better articulate way of saying what I was saying. So thank you, Melanie. That was good. And yes, that continues to be a question, as I mentioned, that the elected officials bring as they, you know, come through the LIO process and understand where we are now. And I've mentioned this at the last meeting that I have participated in, which Larry mentioned, the target action planning, and we received $183,000 for implementation of that, which was brought to the commissioners in October, I think. And so that's great. That was a one-time funding. And then, of course, it opened the conversation of that sustainability of those types of projects and those types of funding models. So it's all evolved. And as I mentioned, I knew that this would happen, where we kind of talked about what's happened naturally in the last couple of months to bring us to this point. And that's why we've invited US EPA here, and they're meeting with all of the other LIO executive teams as well. I know you have a very busy couple of weeks meeting with all of them, met with King County yesterday and so on. So we really appreciate you continuing to hear us and hear what Commissioner Bacon just said, as well as the number of times that we've brought that up, and would really appreciate that being part of the conversation today. Does anyone else on the call have contributions to kind of priorities or questions about the conversation? All right, I think we're back to you, Peter.
Great. Well, thank you. Appreciate that. A couple of things that are contextually important to know about where we're at that is a little bit different. So thanks to many, and maybe including all of you for your support, we do have a new amendment to the Clean Water Act to recognize the national importance of Puget Sound. It's hard to believe, but we were operating without statutory authority for Puget Sound for many years. But with the Puget SOS and the amendment to Clean Water Act, it actually set up by statute the a national program office, which we've now stood up in the last year at EPA, and also the Puget Sound Federal Leadership Task Force, which includes basically all the federal agencies, including Department of Defense, so the Navy, giving them accountability and direction to align their programs to support the action agenda and our shared ecosystem recovery goals. So that has been great. And we have formalized the Federal Leadership Task Force. We submitted a report to Congress. We submitted a formal 5-year action plan of federal actions and programs that support the action agenda. Not the main purpose of today, but I think really important for us to track, because I know you've been referencing project money, which is very, very important, not diminishing that. But what we're seeing and what we're talking about in the management conference has, especially in the past 6 or so years and recently, is that that project restoration funds are important, but not complete in our abilities. So it's also looking at the alignment of programs and policies to recovery needs, especially around protection. So a lot of the stuff in the Federal Leadership Task Force space and National Program Office is trying to work on those issues too. How are we supporting the partnership, the Puget Sound Partnership, in helping the federal government, state government, local government, other caucuses, NGO caucus, to help align programs and priorities, not just funding for shared interests. So that's been a big benefit. The other benefit we've had federally is increased funding. So we've been benefited by the bipartisan infrastructure law to have a supplemental to our regular appropriations. And our regular appropriations over the past few years have also increased. We now have, in the last couple of years, in the $50 million range, when in the past, when we were last looking at the funding model, probably we're in the $30 million range. You guys all are very politically savvy. You're reading the papers and knowing what's going on right now. We can't assure ourselves that we'll continue at those funding levels, but it's been very helpful for us to fully fund the strategic initiative leads that are in place right now. So there's $100 million out there right now to support implementation of the action agenda. And although I don't have the information in front of me, I know a lot of those funds are ending up in local projects, of course. I think a majority of the funds end up doing local things, of course. Whether or not those are your LIO priority projects, of course, that's part of the conversation. I imagine that hopefully some of those things are supporting priorities in Island County and in your interests. But I can't speak to that because I don't have that in front of me today. But that's something for sure I do want to go and look at more closely. The history of this is, and Angela can help me with some of the timeline, but starting around 2008, there was increased funding for Puget Sound recovery about the same time that the state was setting up the partnership. And at the time, the first funding model was a little bit hodgepodgey. We did competitions and managed grants and kind of forming and norming. That was unsustainable from a workload standpoint. We were competing for individual projects from EPA and probably not the best for how to have a strategic approach. We worked with the management conference to get input and set up the first funding model, which was a little bit more structured with lead organizations. Again, all of this is to support implementation of the action agenda, and I'll keep going back to that. We assessed that and then worked again with the management conference, getting LIOs to get feedback. And that first SIL LIO model went towards a strategic initiative lead approach to be more rigorous in prioritizing the best use of our flexible funding to leverage programs, policies, and projects to support the priority areas of the action agenda. So not everything, because there's a lot in there. And the idea behind the action agenda is that it's trying to align all kinds of funding. So federal funding, not just ours, but also state and local government funding and foundation funding and things like that. So we really were trying to see where could our funding that's very flexible be best used. One thing to keep in mind, a lot of the other federal pots of funding and even state pots of funding tend to be focused on capital and don't have the same kind of flexibility to support planning and leveraging and other things that our funding can do. We then refined that model for SIL 2.0, strategic enough, which we're in right now, based off the changes to the action agenda. And around that time period when we were designing the funding model we're in now, there was a transition away from what I think you're referencing, which is near-term actions or NTAs that were embedded in the previous version of the action agenda, to focus more on identifying clear barriers to recovery and implementation strategies. And I don't necessarily want to get into the specifics there, but going away from a lot of rigorous work, which there was a lot of feedback that actually was very stressful and didn't always lead to a lot of work and not getting funding, to a more structured approach with rigor around the three areas that the management conference continued to say was important, which is shellfish, stormwater, and habitat. So the existing funding model was intended to work to support the priority areas of effort in those areas under the existing action agenda. We did work to build into that competition emphasis on coordination and collaboration with partners in the management conference, including LIOs. And I think there's been some successes there, but are clearly not complete. And we want to continue to improve on that. We also are very conscious of the really good work the LIOs have been doing to update their own watershed priorities and their action plans, which, and in alignment with the existing action agenda and then I think anticipating the next one. And that's not really my space. It's more the partnership space with you. But I know, paying attention to the management conference and other conversations that that is really helpful. And we believe that with continued improvements to the funding model that we compete, that it should hopefully solve for those interests that you're talking about, which is a little bit more certainty that your priorities can be supported, when, of course, if we get funding, and that there's more transparency in that process and more influence of local governments and LIOs in general, not just with our funding. So,
Peter, I'm so sorry. May I interrupt you? I think
yeah.
I just want to make sure that everyone understands the connection of the management conference for this group, especially just to connect the dots. So the management conference includes the Leadership Council, which, if you'll recall, last June, Island hosted the local forum in Oak Harbor that many of you participated in, attended, et cetera. So I just wanted to connect the dots. That includes the Leadership Council. It also includes the Ecosystem Coordination Board, of which Commissioner St. Clair is an appointed delegate, and I'm her alternate. And we are hosting that conference in May, again, here in Island County, which is the next item on this agenda to talk about a little bit. It also includes the Salmon Recovery Council, of which I am the designated appointee, and our Salmon Recovery lead entity is my alternate. So we're just to highlight what Peter's saying about the management conference, you know, being the influential body for a lot of these decisions. We participate in that, and I just wanted to connect those dots for all of you on the call. Thank you, Peter.
Yeah, thanks. Really. And do stop me if, especially if I start using acronyms and other things and assuming people know. It might be good now to, well, I just want to say, so what we have out right now is for input is a couple of things. One is any feedback on the process, although we're getting late in the game, but the other is our principles. So what Angela is doing right now with the team is starting to think about these core principles, which are very similar to what we had before, as we design our next competition. So we're seeking input on those principles, and I think that's been shared with you. And you'll see that some of the things you're talking about are in that space, right, is that I think are of interest to you. So certainly taking a look at that and telling us in writing or through the management conference and your representation or both is helpful. The other area is, and again, this is a big if, because we had seen increased funding over the past few years, we were looking to see if we could add a component to the funding model that would be supportive of priority areas that seem to be of a focus now and probably in the next action agenda. And so we've talked about this publicly. It's not necessarily in writing, but specifically, we're thinking we're going to continue, and we're getting feedback from everybody that stormwater, shellfish, and habitat are still very important for us to focus our funding. But an area that, and I think this is true for Island County, I know it is for San Juan and the other, especially northern LIOs, is that there's a lot of interest in the nearshore marine environments, projects, fish, vessel traffic, all kinds of things that are still supported in the existing SIL model, but to be more specific about those types of projects and actions and programs and how we can support those. So we're thinking about that, but one of the calls we have out for the community is any ideas on additions or slight revisions in the general categories of funding that we're putting out there. So to be clear, we're considering a fourth component of the strategic initiative leads that would have more of a focus on that marine environment. We haven't fully figured that out, but it has been part of the conversation. But if you have other ideas, we're open to those too. But those are the two main areas. And then process-wise, we're taking all that stuff in, and then we'll be going back out and to the ECB and Sam, the science panel and the Sam Recovery Council with more specifics on our approach and how we're looking to do the notice of funding opportunity and the competitions over the next couple of months. And ultimately leading to a meeting with the Leadership Council, which is the decision-making body for the management conference and the partnership, to have that discussion with them and to see if they have any specific feedback for us on that approach. And then what's important for us is that timing-wise, we immediately finalize that approach and get out our competitions so we can go through that process to have those ready to go in the beginning of our next fiscal year, which would be next fall, so fall of 2025, which would coincide with basically finishing and formalizing the next action agenda so we can have our funding model in place to help support the next action agenda. There's other small p kind of small bureaucracy, small p politics things of having those competitions out sooner rather than later as well to show the need for the funding, right? So we want to do that too. So that's pretty important for us, I think important for our collective efforts. Yeah, so I don't know, it might be a good time to throw up the structure of the current funding model so there's a visual. And I, again, don't have the ability to do that. I apologize.
No worries. I will connect to the call and get that up on the screen. Sorry, I'm not over there at the chair computer.
And just the way my setup is, I can't really see anything in the room.
I can do it if folks would like.
I think I've got it. If I'm okay. Am I on? There we go. There we go. Gotta mute myself here. Okay. I think everyone can see that.
I don't know this one.
Oh, this is the one provided by Puget Sound Partnership. So I apologize if this is slightly.
Oh, no, that's okay. Let me, can you give me a second?
Sure, of course.
Because that's not the.
Can we do it?
Yeah, I think this will work.
I think he's going to share something else, actually.
Oh. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Okay. So,
Do you want me to go back to it? I'm sorry.
Well, I think it can work. It's basically the same. It's just
okay.
Sure. It just looked different to me. I think Partnership has better graphic designers. Not a knock on you, Angela, but
they were pretty proud of it, so they sent it out for all of us to use for these meetings. So here we go.
Yeah. So the left side is like a little bit of like where's the funding coming from and with what kinds of authorities, So. We have, as I mentioned, a combination. Normally, we just have regular appropriations, but with the bipartisan infrastructure law, we had a supplemental. To be clear, we're talking about regular appropriations because bipartisan infrastructure law ends in FY26. So we have 1 year left, hopefully, of funding through bill. I will pause, though, and just say that we did add a couple of new parts of the funding model as kind of a one-time thing because of that opportunity. So the climate resilient riparian systems, which is over on the right in purple at the bottom, and then our human well-being and ecosystem recovery cooperative agreement to put resources into the space that the management conference and the action agenda called for to support a more diverse set of community type projects. So both of those are moving and excited about that, but that's not really what we're taking input on. Those are in place. The other areas that we've used the bipartisan infrastructure law include our funding of tribes, which is great because it allowed us to waive match, which is really important. And so we've been funding the tribal implementation award with the Northwest Indian Fisheries Commission with bill funding. Now that will end in 26 and we'll go back to funding the tribal implementation piece of the funding model with regular appropriations, just awareness after 26. So if you go back to the left, we can talk about our regular appropriations. So again, our bill appropriations was around $18 million a year. So that's been great. We also get National Estuary Program base appropriations, which is the top right corner. And that, you know, there are 29 national estuary programs around the country. We have three in our region. We have Lower Columbia and Tillamook. Everybody gets equal funding there, and it's around 850 right now. That could change. The piece that you had mentioned, and I apologize who mentioned it, but the piece about funding that had changed that you were concerned about was that bill funding for the NEPs. And I don't necessarily want to speak to that too much, just say I understand that that concern, and we had talked about it quite a bit. But the idea behind that, and Larry can speak to it because of is that we the partnership thought it would be more strategic and hopefully, I think it is happening. I know it is in some cases, able to use that funding not for their own project, but to invest in spaces that can leverage and help local governments, LAOs, tribes, in their other competitions for other pots of funds to leverage bill and other programs, state programs, and things like that. So they created the strategic funding program out of that funds. But I believe that was what you were referencing about an expectation of that money going directly to the LIOs. I see Janet, you raised your hand.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And there was, you know, we went through a process, and there was confusion, and it felt like a clawback. But where we are today, and I think what's changed from when I actually first got involved with Puget Sound Partnership, when I was head of a local small environmental organization. But what I've seen the changes, which I will personally say I support, is. When I originally got involved, it felt like there was a lot of peanut buttering of funding in order to make sure we fairly dispersed funding across the region. What I think, when we talk about what's strategic, what I think is happening, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because there's a lot of smarter people in the room than I am, but what I think is really important is to recognize it's not just about do we get our fair share, but are we moving the needle on our goal of salmon recovery and restoration and orca protections and all the things that sit in the action agenda or you know the underlying infrastructure that drives us. Because if we're spreading money around, but we're not actually seeing a return on that investment in terms of seeing more smolts, more salmon recovery, more whatever the goal was, then we may be fairly dispersing the money. But I think from my perspective and where I sit in my with my voice is I want to make sure we're moving the needle on our end goals, which is how do we achieve the vision of Puget Sound Partnership in really making sure if you look at the action agenda or you look at the habitat that we're really making a difference on the key outputs and not just fairly distributing the funding. And I could get flayed by my colleagues on this one, but there's a lot of money going into a really tough problem to solve, and my priority is let's solve the problem. So if Skagit Watershed ended up getting money for restoration work, but that it's going to benefit the estuaries that reside in Kamano and Whidbey. That's all good because the end goal is not who gets the money, but how is that money making a difference?
Thank you, Janet. And I'm sorry, Commissioner St. Clair. Too informal. I apologize. That's what you get for being in meetings with me and getting to know you. Yeah, polish. But yes, that is the intent. But we also understand that there's a need to make sure that the whole system also sees themselves in that, and that even within specific LIOs or watersheds, that we're also investing appropriately there for the right things, right? So there is that balance there, and we do take that into account. So, but that I'm glad you raised that because that piece that's the big part, which is the $54 million a year, at least like cap last couple of years, that's what really we're talking about. It's like, what's the best use of our flexible funds, because they are pretty flexible, to support advancing the outcomes that we want to have. I do want to say this. I'm a half glass half full person. I recognize that we're not seeing the high level outcomes that we want to see around number of salmon and other things. But underneath that, I just have to say we're seeing incredible progress in our work around habitat, stormwater, shellfish, opening up of shellfish growing areas. I mean, it's been really significant good work. And I think without these programs, without the action agenda, the partnership, our collaboration, our funding, and other bigger pots of funding, we wouldn't have any of it, honestly. That's my a little bit of a anecdotal personal opinion. But I do see the frustration that we're not seeing the outcomes we're hoping to see with orca and salmon. Although this year was interesting, there's been lots of good positive progress around salmon. And I hope that continues as a trend. But thank you for that. But you're right. That's what we want to talk about, is that part that is the competed space where the majority of our funds go to support implementation of priority work, programs, policies, and projects. How are we making sure that's going where it needs to go for its best use? So that's at 54 million a year if we can maintain that funding. So if you go back out, maybe it's just my screen, and go to the right. So we talked a little bit about this up front. I just want to speak to the pieces that are not, I mean, part of the discussion today, but there's the NEP-based grant to the Puget Sound Partnership, right, that supports, that's where the LIOs get funded for your capacity work, the Northwest Straits, the MRCs, that happens in that space, plus lots of other stuff, supportive science and all that. We see that sub-award space right there. And then we have our tribal capacity awards, also very important, that the tribes get every year. And then I just want to go to the bottom, and then we can go back up to the funding model SIL space. We also look to support really important science, and there's a lot of really important federal science. So there's a lot of science funded in other parts of the funding model, but I just want to be clear that we also use some of the appropriations we get through interagency agreements with NOAA and USGS mainly to support priority federal science that's closely tied to the key science priorities of the action agenda and the science panel. So a good example of that is we, not completely, but mostly funded the work around 6PPD, right? That happened through an interagency agreement over the years. I think you all have been using COSMOS, but the funding of USGS for their climate model has been very important. And there's a few other examples. We can talk about that if you want, but I just want to be clear that that's also part of the broader funding model as well. So let's go to the three key. So as I mentioned, right, we're able with that increased funding, and we thought ahead to have a higher ceiling because of potentially increased funding. So we do have $100 million out over the past 4 years with the SILs. And I think you're tracking that they are in the process of continuing to do sub-awards for priority work of implementing the action agenda in their spaces. So they've been coordinating with each other. They've been working with the management conference. They've been doing, I believe, a pretty good job, but probably could be better in engaging with LIOs and others to make sure you're understanding what they're doing and that you're able to effectively see yourselves in those sub-award spaces and compete for those funds. And I don't know the specifics about how that's going, but clearly not as much as you want. But that's the intention there. And they'll continue to do that for the next couple of years because they have quite a bit of funding left to go, which is great. I don't know if you've seen, but we do have a grants freeze right now. So I just want to recognize our grants team at EPA who worked tirelessly to get all the funding out. I just want to say that. So there's a lot of talk about grants and what can happen, but we've worked really hard to make sure our partners have the funding. So there's a couple of cases where we're still working on a couple of things, but basically we've got everything done. So now we're looking at what we can do in FY25, which we're in right now, and then hopefully have the SIL space set up for next year. So again, we have habitat, shellfish, and stormwater. I think if you haven't, they have a great website for themselves where you can get a lot of information about what they're doing, but also the projects they've been funding. And there's an NEP atlas that you can look by geography of where funding has gone. I'm not sure how much it's updated in the last year of projects, but there's good information there about what they're doing and how they're approaching their role in implementing the action agenda. Again, what we're thinking is potentially, you know, keeping these three and then potentially adding and clarifying, adding a fourth that would be around marine issues. Now, I don't want to say marine habitat, and Angela, you know, has been thinking it more than me, but, you know, how can we have a space that that is linking to the conversations around updating the action agenda? There's a lot of topic areas that are being discussed in the next action agenda that are really in that marine environment space or connected to those types of projects and programs that we think might be best if we competed that more intent with more intention. So I will pause. Angela, anything else you want to add either about the process? Maybe it's good for you. Why don't we do this and then we can just go to full dialogue. Can you just remind everybody the process we're in and the timing and all that? Yeah.
Sure. At this point, we have an input, a call for input open on any of these questions that Peter has raised. I'm really interested to hear what you're thinking, and you can send your thoughts as an LIO to me at Adam. It's adams.angela@epa.gov. And I have a PowerPoint that I can forward to you that has that information and the questions and all of that, if that would be helpful. But that's where we're at right now. But the next ECB meeting in early February, we'll be talking about various options, seeing what the folks on the ECB think about it, and then making final decisions with Peter addressing, as he mentioned, the Leadership Council in March. And then we'll be starting implementing the new funding model with competitions going out over the course of the next year for those primary recipients that will be replacing the strategic initiative leads. They may be called something similar. We don't yet know yet. We keep an open mind. I just do want to mention, I think the Cosmos connection, and I work with Cosmos and that group very closely, and I know that they have reached out to you after the Leadership Council meeting. That is one reason why we are thinking of moving more or separating out the marine nearshore component from the Habitat Strategic Initiative Lead and keeping that the Habitat Strategic Initiative Lead more of a land-based with those communities of practice and those local geographies that are more interested in that, and then having the nearshore, the shorelines, and other marine issues possibly in another lead award, so that the communities of practice just make sense. And I would be really interested in hearing what Island County in particular thinks about that, since the subject you raised were your shorelines at the Leadership Council meeting.
We did. Yeah. I would ask that you contextualize a little bit when you talk about the marine environment, because I can only say what my brain does, which says there's our nearshore environment stuff, which was our shorelines and the things we did raise in the last meeting. But when I think of marine environment, I think about the bull kelp and the eelgrass mm-hmm. and the stuff that's further out. What do you mean when you say the marine environment, so that we're all singing from the same hymn book?
Definitely starting from shorelines, nearshore. We have the marine vegetation implementation strategy in progress of development right now through the Habitat Strategic Initiative Lead. And that is also something that we would consider including in that. There's also vessel traffic, those sorts of things. Water, the marine water quality that is currently in the Stormwater Strategic Initiative lead, I would recommend that that stay there, and we make that more of a water quality, fresh water quality, marine water quality sort of lead. That would make sense to me in terms of a community of practice. But we are open to any and all ideas of what makes sense and what would work best for you, for all of you on the ground who are doing this work.
And then as we think about the work that we do, we tend to think about this as project-based funding, like let's do something. But some of the work we've done that's been really critically important is our policy work. Things like marine vessels and asking them to stay back from our orcas that passed, the Orca Protection Act passed, I don't remember, last year or the year before. And so that's just one simple example of we don't, it's not always about projects. It's also informs the policy work that we do together that hopefully helps us achieve those goals.
I'm so glad you said that. So I keep
Me
saying
too. I
this
was gonna say
thing
that.
about how flexible our funding is. Most federal funding programs are focused on capital projects with little flexibility around program and policy support. We have, and a lot more flexibility there, and we believe that the best use of our funds is to support those programs and policies and maybe projects around them that can really leverage habitat protection, other kind of key priorities that you may have for your LIO, for example. Right. So we're hoping that having more intentionality and clarity in the funding model for that is really valuable for you. So, and also I'm heartened by the work the LIOs have been doing with their local action plans, and the OSS space is a good example of that, because that's not necessarily then funding projects, it's funding programs that we can work with homeowners and others, right? That kind of thing. So, right on target there for what we're thinking. The other is, and I should have said it up front, we really do want you to succeed in getting funding for your priority efforts, right? And I know there's frustration out there. We believe a lot of funding, well, we believe in all of our funding, by the way. We think every dollar that's spent is a good dollar. It's just not enough, right? But we want to make sure that there's more transparency and influence of the LIOs and local governments, more connections. And I think the partnership's been doing a great job with you all to the overall strategy. So it's not an NTA approach, but when these SILs go out to seek projects and programs to fund, it should be a lot easier. And we can't guarantee you're going to get a certain amount of money. I know that's been talked about, but certainly that you'll do well in seeing your priorities supported in the next funding model. And so we are definitely thinking a lot and open to your input about integrating that into the SIL space, right? How can we do a better job competing and then partnering and supporting whoever gets those large cooperative agreements to, and work with a partnership to work with you make sure those connections are strong, and that level of effort that you're giving as leaders, that your staff are doing to develop project ideas and program ideas, end up getting supported with funding. That could be our funding, or it could be state funding. That's the other thing I want to say is part of why we were excited, and I know there's frustration, is the work that Larry Schopp is doing with the bill funding is to leverage all kinds of funds for your priorities. So not just the EPA funds. And I don't, it's still a work in progress. There's still a few years left in that space, and there's still a lot of federal funding flowing through different systems and state funding. So I'm hoping that strategic funding team that was supported with that bill funding at the partnership is going to help you see not just EPA funds, but other funds come to your priority work areas. And I know they're focused on trying to help with that, and we want to support that too. All right. That's a lot of me talking. Why don't we drop the slide unless you want to keep it up and answer questions, get input, have a dialogue, wherever you want to go with the conversation.
Thank you, Peter and Angela, for that overview. We're right at noon, so we're getting pretty late, and I want to be respectful of everyone's time. Most of these folks have been meeting for like 3 hours at this point with the various meetings.
Yeah, I heard the tail end of all your Robert's rules. Yeah.
But I didn't want to curtail that because it's such good background, especially for those who are kind of newer to these conversations on the call. And appreciated Commissioner St. Clair's input as well to kind of ground us. I wanted to reiterate that Island LIO is up for hosting again the ECB in May, and our intention is to continue that shoreline conversation that was started at last year's local forum, which we've alluded to a few times, has catalyzed a lot of conversation and introspection and scrutiny at the state level and beyond about this issue at a regional and beyond level. So that was the last thing on the agenda. And I know Jillian's here to speak about this, but if we have a few more minutes before we get to that, I want to invite, as Peter said, some additional comments, but also what would the go forward be from today? How can we serve to provide the comment to you? What's the next step?
Well, however you want to do it, you can set up a separate meeting with Angela and talk to her some more. You can write a letter, you can send an email, you can have Commissioner St. Clair have talking points in the ECB meeting. I mean, all those things work. I think what would probably be best for Angela is if you have anything specific that you do, get it to her in writing. That's super helpful, especially around some of the areas we talked about. But yeah, it's kind of up to you how you want to do it. There's different options there. The quicker the better, though, because it's a short turnaround for Angela to digest all that and kind of craft the final options for us.
Yeah, so by January 31st is what we've given everybody. So that's a week from Friday. Thank you.
Yeah. Jillian, I know you're here to give a quick overview of the ECB itself. We've kind of touched on a little bit how it kind of blends into the management conference and, who's on what. And it's okay. I know some people might have to drop off. Do you want to do that now, Jillian, or should we postpone? What would you like to do?
That's up to you. I'm here and available if you want. I can give a quick overview or I can send you the slides and we could do it with. I know sometimes the LAO coordinator will work with a few LAO committee members to prep, and I could do a separate meeting with you and give the same
Yeah.
presentation to a smaller group if that'd be better.
Well, Commissioner St. Clair is, I believe, attending the one in February. Commissioner, come on, I'll put you on the
I'm
spot, but
attending the morning part of the meeting, and then
okay.
Jen, you're going to be my delegate because I sit on another board that meets in the
Okay, perfect.
afternoon. But I do look forward to that, and we'll try to carve out the May meeting. My recommendations, Jillian, is that we set up a sub meeting and invite our LIO folks, and we talk about this before we come together in May. It
Oh,
was
yes.
Commissioner Bacon will also speak to the fact that our last time we hosted you guys, it was very well received by our
Very,
community.
yeah.
And but I do think we're running out of time on people's calendars.
Yes. So, Jillian, I'm so sorry, but again, this was such a great conversation and I really appreciate the overview and the history. So, we are scheduled to meet quarterly with this group, but as of just like we did last year, knowing that we're hosting this big event, we ended up meeting more frequently. So I think we'll probably set up another meeting probably in a month or so to talk more about the ECB specifically and how it ties into our, policy and legislative initiatives and this overall strategy. So again, as Peter and Angela mentioned, the nearshore is such a critical element that they're even considering adding another SIL. And that is our primary topic, of course, for our local forums that we continue to bring forward. It's just such a paramount topic for us. So it's all coming together. There's a lot of coinciding efforts right now at the state and local and regional level that I'd be happy to update you more on when we meet here in hopefully several weeks.
Well, thank you, everybody. I know you transitioned, but really appreciate the time today. You can call me anytime as well. I think you have my, you know, I'm happy to talk to you. One thing I said to the other LIOs, I don't want to just meet with the LIO leadership. And I know Larry doesn't when we're talking about updates to the funding model, right? I'd like to stay engaged. I think having these local forums is great. You might get sick of me because I think I'm on the ECB Executive Committee working with Jillian to support you, and I'll be your liaison from the ECB on designing an effective agenda space with
Yes,
you and
thank you.
supporting you. So thanks for that.
It's a
Thank you
great
for having the
opportunity for us
partnership
to
team.
host again. Very excited. Sorry, Larry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to also say thank you for having the partnership here today, and I'm very much looking forward to the forum with the ECB in like a few weeks
Yeah.
or about a month. I'm very much looking forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you all, and I'll follow up with the LIO Executive Committee via email. And move forward from there. So thank you very much again for attending. I was so happy with the turnout today. Mayor Horstman, I'd be happy to follow up with you after about more engagement. And happy to have you here and happy New Year. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.